Now, you may have heard the news about this report. I hadn't even thought about it for the longest time. We got through the spring and summer. It's been quiet this winter. We've had carjackings, but nothing like the sort of mass looting and rioting that we saw in Chicago in the warmer months. And then this report comes out, and it's pretty damning. It's page one in the news this morning, and Deborah Witzberg is the Deputy Inspector General for Public Safety. And she joins us now on WGN Radio. Deborah, thanks for taking the time. How are you today?
Good morning. Good. Thanks for having me.
What's the elevator speech? What's the overall summary of what happened and how well we responded this spring and summer?
I think the bottom line is that the police department and the city could and should have done better. I think there were failures in leadership at the Chicago Police Department, and those failures endangered members of the public and really undermined frontline members of the department.
How did you do this investigation? It's taken some time, as it should, but just talk a little bit about the process.
Sure. We conducted dozens of interviews with Chicago Police Department members at all levels of the department, up and down the chain of command. We spoke with city officials in other departments, including City Hall. We spoke with state and federal agencies, as well as other private entities. We reviewed thousands of pages of documents, including emails and policies. And we looked at, we did our own kind of frontline analysis of some of the arrest and the use of force data.
Some of this sounds institutional, but was there something very specific, something rather turnkey, that if we had done this, or if this person had said or done that, everything would be different? Was there something especially critical?
I'm not sure that there was any one thing. Certainly this was a challenging confluence of circumstances, but I think these events were really marked by a lack of preparedness. I think there's both kind of a short-term and a long-term dimension to that. I think in the longer term, a major city police department should have a kind of contingency plan in place for major civil unrest. And in the shorter term, there was certainly information available in the days following the death of George Floyd before things started to sort of unravel in Chicago, which really suggested that there were major protest and unrest events in other cities, and information that suggested that those events were coming to Chicago. And I think, you know, there were missed opportunities for better planning and better preparedness.
Was it a coordinated attack? Was it a coordinated violence, not only that spring night, but also later in the summer?
You know, our inquiry really focused not on the underlying events so much, but really on the city's response. The mayor certainly articulated the view when we spoke to her that this was a coordinated effort.
I can't speak to that for her. Well, fair enough, but maybe your inability to answer that is an answer unto itself. That is, the mayor said this was a coordinated attack, and I think a lot of us thought, aha, okay, if it is, who? Let's address that. I have not yet heard who was the mastermind or who were the schemers. Have you?
I would say everything we know about the mayor's position on that is in the report.
I'm sorry, and I haven't taken the time to read the 140 pages. It just came out. But, I mean, seriously, can you just respond with a little more depth on, was it sort of the random act of opportunists, or was it something coordinated that we could have anticipated?
We could and should have anticipated protest and unrest. And I think regardless of who committed those, you know, the acts of looting and criminal damage and so on, we could and should have anticipated large-scale events in Chicago.
And if we had, what would we have done differently? What was missing, or what would have happened differently those nights?
I think the hope would be that members of the police department would have been better trained in mass arrest protocols. There would have been clarity, at least among the highest-ranking members of the police department, around use-of-force reporting requirements. And there would have been some sort of forethought to how a major deployment would be managed to avoid a situation like this one, where there were kind of unintended consequences of the way the emergency deployment was managed, including that there were thousands of police officers deployed without body-worn cameras.
That's an unintended consequence, or was that intentional? Did the police not use their cameras? Did they not have cameras? Talk about that.
I think that was an unintended consequence. So there were many thousands of police officers who were deployed out of kind of an emergency operation in the parking lot at Guaranteed Rate Field. and those officers were assigned to go straight there rather than reporting to their regular district stations, and then they were sent from there on CTA buses to various locations around the city, and so they never had an opportunity to pick up body-worn cameras. We don't have any indication that that was intentional, in that anyone was trying to, you know, avoid video recording, but I think it was an unintended consequence of a poorly planned mobilization.
There were times where, you remember the video, where we would just see people running amok, committing crimes sometimes right in front of police officers. What should they have done or could they have done in those instances?
I think what you're seeing there is some of the consequence of poor supervision and inadequate guidance for frontline department members. We heard from officers who talked about getting really conflicting and unclear messages about whether and when they should be making arrests and how they should be processing arrests. I think that's a good example of the fact that frontline members were kind of left to high-stakes improvisation without adequate guidance and support.
That's a good, interesting way to put it, high-stakes improvisation. I took a call earlier this morning from a listener who said that she's related to a police officer, I don't recall how, but that the officers were told to stand down, to not make arrests. Did you discover that? Is that true?
I would say that, you know, we certainly heard that there were all kinds of conflicting messages about, you know, make arrests, don't make arrests, here's when and how. And so I think, you know, we saw bad outcomes from that lack of clarity.
And I wonder if some of it, even if we had planned better, would have been inevitable, right? If hundreds and thousands of people storm a city and start to set it on fire, there's going to be a certain measure of chaos, right?
I think even better planning and better preparedness would likely have, you know, yes, these are challenging circumstances. Absolutely.
No, you had more to say there.
Well, I think the challenging circumstances, and I think this would have been a challenging few days. I have little doubt that we could and should have done better.
Yeah, right. And so what happens next then? I mean, are you suggesting that there be meetings where people say, what are we going to do the next time this happens? Or should there be some sort of punishments, not the right word, but should people lose their jobs? Should there be demotions?
What we are really in the market for here is a better and safer and fairer police department and city response. And so I think there are policy changes underway. I, for the moment, take the police department at their word that they are working on addressing some of these issues. And we will keep a watchful eye on those improvements and to see if they're meaningful.
Why do you say fairer?
Well, I think, you know, there are the members of the public were really underserved here. And that's the critical bottom line, is that the failures in leadership at the police department, right, failed both members of the public and members of the department.
I noticed that the ACLU, though, said that this inadvertently overpunished black and brown people. I wondered if that was what you were referring to.
Not specifically. I think in general, members of the public are entitled to a police department that serves and protects them, and members of the department are entitled to leadership which provides them adequate support and guidance.
Do you think that we are prepared now? What if we're something to break out this spring again? There's another anniversary coming up. Are we ready for that?
I hope so. I hope that you know, there have been lessons learned. I think it's a little bit too early to tell.
And maybe you're the wrong person to ask, Deborah. That is, I hope so too, but I didn't just spend a year investigating what happened, or a half a year. Did you discover any evidence that we do have better plans, better training, cameras will be used, that sort of thing?
There certainly are policy revisions. The police department certainly has revised some of its policies, and it has made commitments to improve trainings and that sort of thing.
Did you all recommend, though, that somebody be punished, fired, lose their job, et cetera?
We didn't make any specific recommendations in this report. And it's important to say our inquiry here was not a disciplinary investigation.
Right.
There are disciplinary investigations underway related to these events. Those largely sit with the Bureau of Internal Affairs and with COPA.
I thought it was interesting. The report also revealed that sometimes people were arrested and released 14 hours later, that you almost had this sort of revolving door. They throw them in, they throw them out, and they just kept doing that. I don't know what we're supposed to do next time, but what do you do with those kinds of mass arrests?
Well, I think the hope would be that if the mass arrest protocols are followed, if people are trained on the mass arrest protocols and if they're followed appropriately, then there would be better documentation. Many of those releases that we saw, those were situations where because there weren't proper records kept, because the police didn't keep appropriate or complete records, they didn't have the information that would have been required to charge people. And so that resulted in situations where, you know, both people were held, people were detained without any justification, and people who, you know, likely should have been charged couldn't be.
Deborah Witzberg is the Deputy Inspector General for Public Safety here in Chicago. I really appreciate your time, Deborah. Thank you for your work.
Thank you.